It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day, 2021. We have 22 vessels today on today's Columbia River ship schedule. I have no April Fool's jokes to play on you during the show, by the way, so you can breathe easy. Today's marine weather forecast includes northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 early in the morning. Wind waves from the northwest, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart. Northwest swells 4 feet at 12 seconds. And today we're going to talk about offshore wind farm projects under the Biden administration and how that will affect those on board ships, those mariners who will be constructing those projects. It involves something called the Jones Act in the U.S. So if this is approved, it will be a really big deal for the U.S. maritime industry. So I want to talk about that today. But first, let's take a look at who's coming and going on the river. We have 8 inbounders. We have 9 in our Astoria anchorages. And we have 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Grand Mark. She's a car carrier arriving from South Korea, headed for Portland. She has brand new Hyundais on board. She'll probably pass Astoria in early afternoon around 1:30 and be in Portland by about 7:30. It takes about 6 hours to get from the Astoria waterfront up to the port of Portland there. The Doric Javelin is arriving from China, headed for the Kalama anchorage upriver. She'll pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m. and be in Kalama's anchorage by about 8:30. Maybe wheat for her cargo, or corn, soy, or wheat. The QC Matilda is arriving from China, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be there by about 6:30 p.m. The Atlantic Eagle is arriving from Japan, headed for Kalama's anchorage. She'll probably pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m., probably take her about 5 hours to get up to Kalama, so about 11:30 p.m. in the anchorage, and probably some kind of grain cargo there for her. The Darwin is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Rice Island anchorage, opposite Tongue Point on the north side of the ship channel there, a little bit east of Astoria, but you can still see those ships in the Rice Island anchorage from the downtown waterfront in Astoria. It just looks like Astoria's anchorage is longer because those ships kind of stretch toward the bend in the river there. So the Darwin will be there in that anchorage at about 8:30 p.m. The Peace Hope is arriving from Singapore, headed for Portland. She's bringing in some kind of fertilizer ingredient, maybe urea, something like that. She'll pass Astoria around 10:30 p.m. You might see her in Portland by about 4:30 a.m. on Friday. And the Malayakos is arriving from Seattle. She's a container ship, probably passing Astoria around 11:30 p.m. So you'll see her running lights going by, and she'll be in Portland by about 5:30 a.m. on Friday. In our Astoria anchorages, we have the Daria Shanti headed for, she left last night to go up to Portland to pick up wheat. She left late last night traveling on the river. The Hong Hing is heading out this morning around 11 a.m. from the Astoria anchorage, headed for Kalama to pick up corn, soy, or wheat. Leaving around 11, she'll probably be there about 4 p.m. in Kalama. The African Starling is awaiting orders, as is the Irini P, the Sakazaya Miracle, the Bryant, the Alpha, the Aspasia Luck, and the Thor Caliber. So there's a lot of ships to look at out there in the anchorage today. They're all dry bulk carriers. They're all sitting fairly high in the water, so you'll see some of the dark black hull paint generally is the color for hulls on ships, the body of the ship. And then the part below the waterline, generally when it's loaded, has this dull red bottom paint that has chemicals in it that repel marine growth. And so there's a different kind of paint on the bottom of the ship where it's underwater than there is on the top. And so when a ship is sitting in the anchorage without any cargo on board, it's sitting kind of high in the water, and you'll see that dull red bottom paint. But when they come down river from being up at ports, they're generally picking up cargo. And so they're sitting way down low in the water often. And so when you see an outbound ship, that's why you don't see often that red bottom paint there that you did see when it was in the anchorage, because now it's loaded to a safe depth. And ships are actually much more stable at sea when they have that lots of cargo on board. And they do that with a combination of cargo and sometimes ballast water, which they take on to create even more stability and help them travel well at sea. In our outbounders, we have the Amazon leaving Kalama. She is leaving around noontime with wheat on board. It'll probably take her about 5 hours to get past Astoria outbound. The Italian Bulker is leaving the Port of Portland with soda ash on board. It's an ingredient in automotive glass, is one of its many uses. And it is leaving about 2:30 p.m. Take about 6 hours to get past Astoria outbound. The Glovis Corona is a car carrier leaving Portland with Hyundais on board about 3 p.m., maybe 9 p.m. past Astoria outbound. And the Broadway is leaving Vancouver. She's a petroleum tanker, refined petroleum there, jet fuel, biodiesel, gasoline, something like that. Leaving around 7 p.m., passing Astoria outbound. Give her about 6 hours to get past Astoria and out to sea. The K Marin Busan is leaving Portland with wheat on board around 10:30. It'll take her about 6 hours to get past Astoria. And the ATB Sound Reliance, one of those Crowley-owned ATB rigs, articulated tug and barge rigs, is leaving Portland. Petroleum on board, leaving around 10:30. She'll also take about 6 hours to get downriver and out to sea. Well, there's a big proposal for wind energy, offshore wind projects from the Biden administration. And it has some real implications for U.S. mariners. And I wanted to share an article from gcaptain.com, but also to give you some information about what the Jones Act is. This is a Jones Act issue, which is a kind of an interesting law that protects the U.S. shipping industry. So I'll read you a little bit from this GCaptain article. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has issued its latest ruling on the Jones Act's role in the development of offshore wind projects off our nation's coasts. The latest ruling now builds on earlier rulings that are now stacking up to have big implications for American mariners and ships. The Jones Act requires that goods shipped between U.S. ports are transported on ships that are built, owned, and operated by United States citizens or permanent residents. So, this means that a ship that travels, say, and we have this happening here on the Columbia, between, say, Port Angeles, Washington, and Portland, Oregon, where the trip originates in one U.S. port and ends up in another U.S. port, must conform to Jones Act rules. So that means that the ship has to be built in the U.S., it has to be registered under a U.S. flag, and it has to have U.S. mariners on board. So this is a big deal. Most of the ships that come into the Columbia are foreign flag ships and foreign flag states, and U.S. rules don't apply to them except in the case of Coast Guard inspections. So, for instance, the cruise ships that come into Astoria generally don't have to comply with the Jones Act because they include a foreign port in their itineraries like Mexico or Canada. Otherwise, if they were simply port hopping along the U.S. West Coast, they'd have to be Jones Act vessels. So now, regarding these wind power projects, they've decided that the outer continental shelf is considered a U.S. area, so almost like a port. So vessels that are going from U.S. ports to outer continental shelf areas where wind turbine installations are being installed are considered Jones Act vessels. So this is going to require, according to this GCaptain article, virtually every permutation of available U.S. coast-wise qualified vessels and some permissible foreign flag vessels. So there will be some foreign flag vessels involved in this, but most of them will be U.S. flag vessels, U.S. sailors. That means U.S. standards for health and safety on board will be applied. So this is a really big deal for the U.S. maritime industry, which has suffered financially in recent years because it's just cheaper to use foreign flag vessels. But this is kind of a really interesting shot in the arm as part of this project that will help the U.S. maritime industry. So kind of a neat thing. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.